Welcome back to Rev Deals Podcast. It's good to be with you. I am finally healthy again. That's why I wasn't posting. I lost my voice, and doing a podcast without a voice is pretty pointless, so I waited. But here I am back again. We are going to be covering a topic on crosses and suffering. Now, there are probably a number of different ways that we can talk about suffering, but three of the most common are suffering as a result of wrongdoing. That is, we suffer justly a consequence for our sins on this side of glory, even should we receive, as we Christians do, the forgiveness of God, and before God, all of our sins are taken away. Yet on this side of glory, we have consequences to our sins. So just as one who may be caught thieving from a store might not ever be allowed back in that store, that would be a just suffering for that. That's a good suffering, of course, because it teaches us that we need to repent. It also teaches us the seriousness of our sin. But that's a topic for another day. The other suffering that we talk about is a suffering as we bear the name Christian. So we might bear the reproach of the world, that is the disapproval from other people, when we speak about our confession, our belief, right? So one of the ones that we referenced last evening during church was when Christians stand for the right for life, when they stand against those who would be advocates for abortion or for like euthanasia or something along those lines, we might suffer those who would say, well, how could you do that? You're taking away rights of women, or you're just for allowing the elderly to be in such severe pain that they would never be able to escape it. And again, we're going to bear the reproach of the world. They may hate us as Christians because we are bearing witness to what the scriptures teach and not what man may want to do. So again, bearing a reproach or being disapproved or hated by the world because we are teaching the doctrines of God and not the doctrines or the commandments of man. Now, there's a third kind of suffering that we might talk about, which is bearing in this life the things which may be taken away from us. And these are of no particular reason. They're not because of a consequence of sin, but God so allows us to bear crosses in this life that we, as his people, might be conformed to the image of his Son. That is something which we learn about, that to be conformed to something means to be molded or shaped into it. So God the Father is bringing us to be like his Son. And this is a very difficult process because, of course, we are rebellious sort of a people. And when God shapes us and conforms us into the image of his Son, it's often through such difficult and hard crosses that we are to bear. And yet they are sent for our good, that we might learn to trust in God above all things. So back in 2016, I wrote this article about our crosses and our sufferings, and wrote it from a very biblical perspective, of course, but compared it to how people that aren't familiar enough with the scriptures or with the way that God works in this life tend to respond to sorts of suffering. So I'm going to share some of that with you and talk a little bit about that. So I started the article off like this. Have you ever wondered why things happen? Or have you told someone, or has a friend told you, there is a reason for everything that happens? And why is it that they say that? Oh, there's everything happens for a reason, right? So don't worry. But what's the issue with that, right? The issue is that then you start looking for hidden reasons for why things happen, and you're really not met with any sort of comfort, are you? It's kind of this cryptic message, because before our eyes, right, what do we see? We see the event that happened. We have a problem that we are facing, and there remains a bunch of things that are unknown to us. And not only then, when we're met with these words, everything happens for a reason, are we dealing with the problem itself, but then now we have this second kind of traumatic event that, well, now we have to figure out this hidden reason for why things are happening. Or why things have befallen us in this life. Some people think it's karma, right? Like the whole universe has conspired against you to bring about your ill and misfortune in your life. That's also terribly wrong. But life is difficult. Calamities happen. Death happens. Sickness happens. Destruction is in our midst. Wars. And we don't need any more empty words or empty comfort. That's not going to be helpful for us. So the better thing for the Christian to do when they're met with these calamities or these troubles in life, I mean, whether it's a horrific accident or it's, you know, how am I going to pay my bills next month? We need to draw near to the promises of God. That is to be conformed to the image of the Son, who trusted in the will of the Father through all things, even into his death, and has brought about, as you may know, our salvation through his suffering, death, and resurrection. So instead of telling people as a pastor that everything happens for a reason, just sit back and just wait, I instead speak to them the words of St. Paul from Romans chapter 8. Let me read those to you. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. So, from that, what do we learn? We learn what God has done and what God promises to do. So for you, dear Christian, there's a great deal of comfort in this, isn't there? God has called you out of this world into his own family and has promised to work all things to your good. But what good is he talking about here? We may have an idea of what it means to have good things here in this life. And some of those things are good. We know that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father in heaven. And we return thanks when we realize this. So we thank him for our food, our clothing, our house, our home, everything that we possess. But there are things that take root in our heart that try to push out the place of God. For God should have the number one place in our heart and in our life, and our entire lives should really be conformed to God. So, what if you turned around and you looked at your troubles in this life and how God is actually tearing down from your heart, or uprooting, we might say, all of these false things in which you have placed your trust? Even in your own bodily health, maybe in your financial security, in all of these places that you have put some amount of trust that should have been placed in God. We maybe don't recognize this enough, but sin has done a great deal of damage in this world. And we know that even as the devil is working, it seems as though he has the stronger hold in this life, and that all these things which are against us maybe seem overwhelming. So not just these physical happenings, but then also these attacks. But here's the thing. We know that all of these things, even the most wicked and evil plans of the devil, must be worked to the good. That is, God has set an end to them, to all of our sufferings in this life. And we have really nothing to fear in being called into the family of God. And then we have nothing to fear knowing that he who justified us through the Son also has promised us to be there, to defend us, to guard us, to take care of all of our life's worries. So we need, again, to have faith. And this faith, God enriches or nourishes, strengthens and encourages by these words of promise that he gets, that he sends to us through his word. Hymns often reflect this. Some of our greatest hymns that our church has were written out of times of struggle, out of trials and tribulations, out of crosses that come upon us. One of these was given to us by Paul Gerhardt, who lived during the 17th century, and he was afflicted quite heavily. You can read about him, I'm sure, if you just Google his name, Paul Gerhardt. But one of these hymns, he is entitled for us in English, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? So I'm going to read to you just the first three stanzas of this hymn, and I want you to listen to it now that you have been filled with these words from Romans chapter 8, that God has even preordained these crosses that we are going to face that will conform us to the image of his Son. So how these crosses that God gives us are going to, in fact, be for our good. So listen to Paul Gerhardt's words here. Why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with his cheer. Never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for me won when his life was given? When life's troubles rise to meet me, though their weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my loving Savior, sends them. He who knows all my woes knows how best to end them. God gives me days of gladness, and I will trust him still when he sends me sadness. God is good. His love attends me. Day by day, come what may, guides me and defends me. What a great gift it is to share with you, dear brother or sister in Christ, that we know that when God sends us these days of gladness or when he sends us these days of sadness, that his love ever attends us. And we have seen the manifestation, the revealing of God's love to us in the greatest gift in his Son, Jesus Christ. So as you enter this Holy Week, as you consider the sufferings of his Son, Jesus Christ, count yourselves as ones who are blessed. Blessed by God, who brings an end to our suffering in the suffering of Jesus Christ, and who conforms us always to the image of him who was faithful even unto death upon the cross. And if you are filled with guilt over the failings, when you have failed to trust in God, and you have started to trust in these other things, repent of that, right? Repent of it and draw near to God who forgives your sins. And then when a fiery trial meets you next, when you are feeling that overwhelming burden, do not fear, but turn to God who shall use all of these things for your good, the eternal good, right? The good of your salvation. For he longs to bring you out of this world and into the world that is to come, when all trust will be made perfect. And we shall see again the glories of God revealed to all. And we shall know in that day all of these things, which we may see now as such great and difficult trials, how wonderful God's works were to keep us and sustain us in this one true faith that leads to everlasting life. Well, I hope and pray that you are uplifted in this, the beginnings here on Passion Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, in the faith, and that through this study of Christ's own passion, you may see the love of God revealed to you in the complete atonement for your sins and in his resurrection as we celebrate on the Easter Vigil or on Easter Sunday. And that you give glory to God who sends us the greatest gift and the most joyous gladness that we could ever hope for in this wonderful treasure of our salvation. God bless you this day, and I hope to hear from you. Feel free to either join us in the comments or on Discord. You are welcome to leave your comments or your feedback and perhaps any questions you may have. God bless.